Oh, I heard. Oh, we're live.
Hello.
Welcome to Hospitality 360. Obviously, we have a special, and I know you see a lot of windows in front of you today. These aren't your normal windows, so you don't even see what's in the background. But, you know, it's a special. This is part two of our two-part series with the Bates Ambassadors. And I will just go from my right all the way down here. Is we got Brian J. Esposito, founder of Bates, and also CEO of EIE, and then Chief Strategy Officer of EV Hotel, J. Lisa Lee, Eric Noon, Stephanie Malik, Stefan Schultz, Andrew, Rupa Singh, and then we've got Ali. So I'm just kind of going to go around real quick so everybody knows, you know, who everyone is and what they're actually doing here. You know, the project about Bates, we're going to go into that afterwards. They make the intro. So, Ryan, take it away.
Yeah, I'm just going to suggest, Ali, if that's you, maybe go on mute when you're not speaking. Let's just enjoy that for a moment. What's the question?
We're just going to do a simple introduction.
Okay. Thank you. Brian J. Esposito, CEO and founder of Esposito Intellectual Enterprises. It is a 20-year of development holding company now that consists of over 85 different entities. I've accumulated over 150 joint ventures from around the world and proudly operating in over 25 different industries. As relates to hotels and hospitality, I'm honored to work with Ken Patel, also Stephanie Malik, in EV Hotel, and I operate as the Chief Strategic Officer. So excited to be here today and with this incredible, what is this, panel of amazing people.
I think the last show we did together, Brian, has got you all messed
I am
up right now.
Frazzled. I feel like I was in like 10th grade history class, falling asleep.
I don't think anybody knows what you're actually talking about, but we'll tell you later on. We'll tell you later on. So, Jay Lisa.
Hi, so my name is Shayla Salia, and I am the CEO of Modern Luxury Lounge. It is a branding and PR agency for entrepreneurs, so we specialize on getting entrepreneurs seen in big publications.
Thank you, Jay Lisa. Andrew?
My name is Andrew Fromm. I'm probably one of the only tech-challenged ones here. That's why my name's not on the on the little thing there. I didn't type in my full name, but I'm in the music industry. I was a songwriter, wrote songs for people like Backstreet Boys, Mark Anthony, NSYNC, Casey and JoJo, Selena Gomez, even Engelbert Humperdinck cut one of my songs at one point in time. Wow. I turned about 14 years ago into a consultant for music publishing rights. And my job these days is to aid people in selling their music catalogs to third parties. And it's been obviously a very incredible time in that space, and growth is just through the roof. Every time I don't think I'm gonna do better than the year I did last year, it winds up even being more robust the next year and continues to grow from there. I've done about $700 million worth of transaction volume over my career doing this for 14 years.
So Andrew, I gotta ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When can you put my song up?
Well, let's see. How much are they making?
Well, I think I had maybe one person listen to it last week. So
yes,
I'm trying to get three or four. So.
we can help you there.
Perfect. Perfect. You got a deal. Stephanie Malik.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Malik. I am the founder and CEO of S. Malik Enterprises. I formerly started a consulting firm, management consulting firm in 22 global locations, grew it to a multi-million dollar firm, decided I really wanted to focus more on leadership and focused on global business consulting with high impact performance as well as crisis management. So I currently operate in 31 countries. I have 17 brands underneath SME, and I've written almost $1.8 billion in deals.
Oh, you're not doing anything.
Mic drop. Everybody drop their mic.
I'm actually really, I'm Brian's administrative assistant.
Oh, I got the wrath today. Don't worry about that.
It was a little wrath, little wrath.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, great. Happy Thursday. Mr. Schultz.
Hello, Ken. Yeah, so my name is Stefan Schultz. I have, I'm actually the CEO of Bitfury's Around, which is a rights management and monetization and commerce platform for intellectual property. You know, I've been working in the music industry and entertainment industries for like 25 years in tech, but you know, with technology and digital, trying to make sure that Andrew and everybody else can grow exponentially in the, trying to find the real value of IP, you know, supporting artists and industry stakeholders really to get access to their data and make sure that there is a, you know, there is some sort of leverage in latest technologies to get to make a great living, but also to you know, to really realize what is actually the true value of what they are, you know, what they are creating. And I used to work at Universal Music as a chief digital officer, you know, PolyGram, go long time back in you know, different areas of the entertainment industry, mostly working for larger corporations.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. You know, I'll call you. Look, Andrew's going to make my song. You're going to sell my song. So
it's yeah, exactly.
Rupa?
Hi, guys. So I'm Rupa Shin. I've been a multi-award-winning serial entrepreneur, founder, CEO, mentor, and business judge for about 20 years now. Additionally, I've got a really good track record as a trusted cross-border advisor and consultant to government subsidiaries, diplomats, ultra-high net worth clients, family offices, hedge funds, celebrity CEOs, and commodity and film and tech organizations, which collectively have an excess of $5 billion under management. I'm also a really big advocate for gender equality, diversity, and inclusivity in entrepreneurship, and also an investor and advisor in women-led startups within the NFT, crypto, blockchain space, film and entertainment, AI and AR industries. So that's a little bit more about me.
Thank you, Rupa.
Thank you,
Rupa. Eric?
Yeah, hi, this is Eric Yoon. I'm the founder and CEO of the ESTV, world's largest esports network. We currently broadcast in 46 countries. We own and operate 4 linear esports channels, ESTV, our flagship racing college and high school. Besides that, I own another company called The Love in Korea 24, and we have a broadcast basic cable networks, 2 of those. And then also, we own and operate the K-pop music video on demand service that services 60 million cable set-top boxes in the US that was launched in 2010. We probably have the world's largest K-pop music video library.
Thank you, Eric. Phenomenal work. And I just want to obviously say hi to Sandy Martinez. She's listening in. And
Andy.
Evie Hotels, global partner, Arizona State University. So hello, Sandy. We definitely have to talk. I owe you a call. So soon enough. So I want to kind of get into the show, and then basically, we start out with a question on the show on every Hospitality 360 segment. So our show for this week and for this segment for part 2 is, why did the founders, obviously Brian's one of the founding members, so this will be addressed to him too, is
no.
Why did you choose Bape rather than any other NFT project that is out there? Why is Bape so important to you? Well, Brian, I know what you're going to say. So, but I'll go ahead.
Say it. What am I going to say? Also, I want to give an intro to Ali, who can't join for some reason. But Ali Bahuch, who's an incredible person. We have a Twitter Spaces with him on Babes if you want to check it out. He was the previous CTO of Sephora, one of the smartest, most incredible people I've ever met in my life. So we get to do a lot of work together, and he is a Babes ambassador. So hopefully he can jump back in. But I wanted the people to know who that little white circle that keeps coming in and out is. So as far as Babes goes, I've been involved in technologies, building tech products and solutions, you know, usually too soon. Andrew knows this firsthand with some of my work in Nashville. It's the hardest thing in the world when you're too soon and you got to try to keep it alive. But with all of our companies and holdings and being engulfed in crypto, blockchain, NFT, and the banking and knowing the flood of money that's going into those spaces, I said we have to go now on something really hot, and we got to go immediately. And we talked about this on the previous show. So the idea of building Babes and the idea of giving real utility, I don't want to knock all the other ones out there, but I've never bought an NFT prior to being involved with Babes because I didn't understand the real long-term value. And, you know, maybe shame on me, even with our metaverse holdings, I didn't understand the long-term value of buying digital land. I could have bought some of it in some of our holdings for like $500 3 years ago. Now it's trading for $500,000. But certain things, I just have very old school business philosophies and strategies that have to make sense to me. And there has to be real value, and it has to be sustainable, has to make money, has to generate some kind of return. So when we're putting together the Babes concept, was what can we do with all of our access and relationships in delivering real value to someone that holds one of these exclusive all access perks and passes that's known as a Babes NFT. Well, let's go and back startups and metaverse and Web 3.0 companies that need the financial support. That was part A. Part B, again, this ties into my career, is always de-risking it. How do you de-risk the trade of capital? Well, then let's give these companies all the chances that they have to succeed. Hence, bringing on 25, 26 amazing business ambassadors from people of all walks of life, all different industries, so seasoned, genuine, good, ethical people that just want to do good work. They want to leave a positive mark on their career. And let's help these startups and these companies grow. So you put those two things together, capital and direct access and experience. Well, then if we don't create value, then we're all doing something wrong, right? All of us together should be able to immediately create amazing value, have a lot of fun while we're doing it, and protect the meta fund and protect the investments or the meta investments that we get behind. So that was the philosophy, but it wouldn't have worked last year, and it may not have worked a year from now. It was that we needed to go right now, and I think everybody that's part of this also felt the same way.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. And I think we had Ro just join in. So welcome, Ro. And if you can just give us a quick intro about yourself, and then we'll obviously go back to Jay Lisa around.
Hi. Yes, I'm so sorry that I came on late. My name is Ro, and I have a company called Mez Entertainment, and we do management and consulting for various types of clients, including DJs, music artists, influencers, in various spaces, and it's based out of New York.
Thank you, Ro. So just that Ro knows, the question that everybody's going to be answering and comes back to you towards the end is going to be, why did you join Babes over all the other NFT projects? And then we'll get right into the show afterwards. Jay Lisa?
Yeah, so I got into... Oh, I think there's an echo. So I got into Babes NFT, of course, because of Brian. I really trust him. But when he presented the idea before, I was in NFT spaces, and a lot of them are just art project or buying into community, or there's a lot of people that are with an intention of flipping NFTs. And I've always been more into long-term, like longevity projects or investments rather than something that's a quick win. So when I saw this project and the roadmap, it was all about giving back to people. It wasn't just about people on top or about charity, which is a lot of what that's about. And it's also bringing more business people into NFT. And it's such a cool way to get raise capital and start a business with people that really believe in you and have them put in a share themselves and be very transparent about business. So I think Babes is one of like the first people to change like a whole revolution of how we're going to do business from now on and how we're going to get capital and how we're going to build a community and involve more people globally. So, I mean, there's nothing that I would say no to. When I saw the project, I was like, absolutely. I don't even think I even seen anything else. I just like signed the contract right away. I was like, I'm in.
Well, I think you liked the project because you knew eventually you were going to come on Hospitality 360.
Exactly. That was really the real thing. I can pretty much drop out of this.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So, Andrew?
You know, I'm not as experienced as many of you fine people are in this space.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. You just wrote a few songs that just went viral.
I the whole NFT thing, I think, is fascinating. And I think at some point, as it evolves, is going to really connect with the music community. I know there's a lot of in this space right now. You know, Deadmau5 and a lot of these big world-class DJs are all involved in the NFT spaces. And, you know, there's a couple trouble points I think we're going to have to get over, but I feel like it's definitely going to be, you know, I've always equated it to the pie chart where you have CD sales and vinyl and all these other elements that break up different parts of the music industry. I have a feeling that the NFT part of it is going to start to expand a bit. And creep into the potential future of how things are transacted, you know, digitally for music. You know, but like I said, I think there's various pain points when you have multiple songwriters and you have multiple administrators and multiple, you know, PROs that are still collecting from radio. I think there's a bit of a challenge to get to the finite point of being able to really solely rely on the technology. I think it's going to come over time. You know, I love the idea how this is stepping into the future of, you know, how you invest in other things and then it kind of comes back to the NFT holder. That's, you know, and how you get a little piece of all the NFTs going forward is a very interesting, you know, given the smart contract technologies. And I'm literally just, you know, I'm a noob learning the ropes as I go along, but I'm fascinated by it. And I'm honored to be involved with all of you fine people, the Brady Bunch.
That's what it looks like right now.
And
I'm just waiting till it flickers. I know Eric's having some trouble, so it does seem like a little bit more like Brady Bunch.
But I'm just honored to be involved with you guys and offer my expertise in the music industry as best as I can as we go through the process. You know?
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Stephanie?
I would say, so Brian as well, made the call to me and had a conversation. I would say the reasons why I first got involved are a little bit different than why I stay involved. Brian kind of made the pitch and said, this is what it is. I am very hesitant, around things that I don't have a ton of experience around. And I didn't have a ton of experience around this. And I was slammed like everybody else. And when I started to learn more about the utility and the value and how I could actually extend this to my clients, you know, like Jalissa said about cap raises and about access, just the overall access, it's really hard to refute. You know, you have to be involved, especially it's so early. If we all look back on the internet and when the internet kind of came to fruition, it was ridiculous for the first 3 to 5 years. It was so difficult to actually stay involved. You think you're involved, you're really not involved. There's players that are coming in over you. And this reminded me a lot of it. I would say stay involved. Rupa and Jalissa, just so zero ego, didn't know what was going on. If one of us couldn't find the answer, we were up till 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody had any problem. I think we answered each other's questions literally day after day after day because we just thought each other knew and we didn't know. And it was such a growing experience together. These ladies, and I'm sure Ro as well, I just haven't had the opportunity to meet, have been so non-ego driven and so caring and thoughtful and connected in getting people, the community, the right answers and having to pivot. We've all been there together. And these two have just been such an instrumental part in doing that.
Thank you, Stephanie. Mr. Schultz.
Yes. So I'm trying to give you another answer than the last time.
The last one was really good.
No, I mean, like, you know, just to be a little bit more versatile. So, yeah, mainly, I mean, I've been through several transformational waves, you know, in the music industry, but also in the movie entertainment industry and other industries. And I can tell you that normally what happens is that you have the very early stage, most of the time people are being taken advantage of. Technologies are being used to exploit, you know, not only artists, but also like other stakeholders, investors, and, you know, the community and individuals that are normally like just curious. And, you know, when I looked at what the market is like, following the ICOs in 18 and 19, we basically, you know, when at the end, the non-fungibility was coming into play, you could see the tremendous potential, but at the same time, also you can see like this unbelievable opportunity for crooks and for anybody who wants to take advantage of other people, that this is the time for them. And, you know, frankly speaking, when Brian called me, I said, listen, in my opinion, what I really love about this is that we are a lot, you know, we are really people that have gone through many different things in our lives. And so we know our industries very well. And let's try to create a community that has the purpose of keeping this, like, you know, this very much gold digger. Everybody is like doing everything at the cost of the others, as small and as low, you know, as short as possible, to really do something substantial, valuable, meaningful in this area, and make sure that, you know, that there is some sort of a, you know, like, I don't know, like a community that has the opportunity to curate, to help, to support each other in order to prevent like losses and all this kind of stuff. It sounds a little bit negative sometimes when I'm talking about this, but this is exactly what's been happening. Wash trading, overfloated, you know, valuations, completely crazy valuations. We have been with some experts looking into different platforms, seeing that there's absolutely nothing in them and stuff like that. So I think this is really the next stage. And with this kind of community behind, I really see that there is, you know, I was immediately in it because, you know, it is just the best way of creating something meaningful and sustainable. So this is why I'm all about Babes. I'm in.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I like your answer.
Thanks. tomorrow I have another one then.
I like the
ginger. Yeah, yeah. Love it. Rupa?
Cool, guys. So Stephanie, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for your kind words. It means so much. And I'm just glad that we have such an amazing tribe of, you know, us female ambassadors, just helping each other, supporting each other. And obviously just the ambassadors as a whole and the founding team. So I just want to say thank you to everybody. I mean, in regards to coming into Babes, it was just a really strange situation for me in a really positive way because, you know, I came into the NFT space probably about 6-7 months ago. Mainly investing into different NFTs. And then I obviously done my own project towards the end of the year, which done really well. And I was just looking at, and for me, NFTs have always been a way, you know, they have to have a way to be able to advocate and empower and raise awareness for something. And I was looking at projects that were out there, and I'd always get approached by other NFT companies that would come to me and say, Rupa, we'd love to have you involved as an advisor or consultant, et cetera, et cetera. And I just used to look at their utility element and the people that were involved. Either they weren't doxxed or they just didn't have a utility element or a kind of empowering message. And it was really interesting because when I came across Babes, I was just really blown away. And I remember getting in touch with Brian in the first instance, and he was just absolutely amazing in terms of his rapport with me. And I kind of touched on Babes at the time, and I was still kind of evaluating things. And one night it was just so strange because I went into the Discord and I saw that there was a podium thing going on. So I just thought, let me just hear this out. And I went into the podium, I heard Doug talking, and I heard the passion, and I heard, you know, I got a really good sense of the community and also the founding team. And that's where I kind of put my hand up and I said, you know, I'd like to kind of talk about a few things. Doug invited me up on the podium. And I said a few things about, you know, I'd learned a lot about BAPES at that point, and I felt that it was one of the only projects, I think it's the only project that's out there that actually does advocate and empower people. It's a project that is going to create legacy, and that's a big one for me. And when I knew a little bit more about the team and the brilliant minds that were involved with the ambassadors and the integrity and the transparency behind, you know, everybody that was involved, it was a no-brainer for me. So I know that it's a hugely game-changing project. I'm so honored and humbled to be involved. And I'm so happy that everybody's been so embracing of me, and I've just felt nothing but welcomed. So no, it's a game changer, and I'm just so excited to be involved in something that this also promotes diversity and inclusivity. And especially with the Meta Fund, I know that, you know, I've had liaisons with Brian, whereby Brian expressed that obviously with the Meta Fund, you know, we're going to, you know, it's all about looking at, you know, the equality side of things. So if we're going to look at projects, we're going to make sure that there's an equality element with those projects that are female led and male led, and having that kind of, you know, having the balance. So no, kudos to everybody. I'm really proud to be a part of this.
Thank you, Rupa. That was great. Ro?
Hi. It's hard to say anything different than what's been said. I mean, honestly, for me, my whole goal in life is to just work with people that I like. I've had many jobs, and the difference that it makes for me, like if I just wanted to have a job, I would be probably like working in finance and have a lot more money than I do now, right? But I can't have just a job. I have to have something that I love, that lights me up, that makes me like feel good about myself as a person. And so with Brian, you know, when he approached me about this, like I just, there was really like I'm not an NFT expert at all, extremely new to this space. And I just, you know, I saw some of the other people that were involved in the project, and it just felt right. It just felt like, yeah, this is a go. Like this is going to be a good thing. And it's building a community with like-minded people who want to build something that is different than what's already in existence. So that's kind of like the core entrepreneurial mindset, which is something that that's me. So I feel like it was a no-brainer, and I've been really enjoying it so far. And that's my answer to the question.
Awesome. Great answer. Great, great answer. And obviously honored to work with you as well. And I'm sure everybody is. So,
well, Ken, Rose is going to be putting all the music concerts on at EV Hotel. So she's managing all those artists. So
ready. That's going to be phenomenal. That is going to be phenomenal. I'll be at every single EV Hotel just to see that.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Eric?
Yeah, hopefully I won't lose my stream while I'm talking. I'm, you know, constantly going off. But Brian and I worked very closely on all this different kind of project. And he brings a lot of deals to us. And, you know, we were be able to onboard a lot of different partnerships. But when he brought this BAPES NFT, I mean, I thought it was a great idea. I mean, we do have other NFT projects that we initiate, activate. But the what I like the most about is that you're helping out the others. The guys who are starting up, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, I had to start up the ESTV from ground zero and build to where it is. So, you know, there's a lot of resources and a capital that you need to build a great entity. And the a lot of times it's about some people who are starting, they have a great idea, but they don't have a resource. And they bring in everybody together, and especially the capital to invest, I think that's the key. As a former banker for Merrill Lynch and a UBS for 18 years, I mean, I look at deals every day, and I still do all the partnership deals, and we know exactly what's going to work, what's not going to work, or if they're on a marginal level, you know, we can be able to help them to bring up to the next level. So I think this is a great thing, and I, you know, love to working with everybody else, and we have a great ambassadors, great team, and we're going to execute this. At the end of the day, if you don't execute, it's just a dream. I don't dream. I make it happen.
Yeah, you do.
Absolutely. I love your products that you have, Eric, as well. So I've been following you. You know, I'm a fan.
Thank you. So, appreciate that, Ken.
Thank you. So I guess people want to know why I joined. Brian offered me pizza, and then I told him that, you know, I don't like pizza parties. So then he said, you know, I told him I like the garlic bread with cheese, and that's what he gave me. So I'm all in now.
Cinderella story. Really well.
So let's move on to the articles and what is Bapes. We're going to go into the Bapes NFT story here. And just to kind of let people know that currently Bapes right now minted at 12 o'clock about 4.5 hours ago. So once we're done with this piece, we're going to get the update on where the mint is currently. And, you know, Brian will give us that update and see what's going on in the world of Bapes. So let me kind of get started here. This is the story on Bapes. And, you know, this is a piece that we had pulled out, our team had pulled out, basically gave the story, the roadmap, a little bit about it. And I think this was an early piece of the article. They're stating best looking NFT 3D characters coming out with. Bapes is a clan of business savvy apes. Members will be able to enjoy VIP access to high-end Bapes Clubhouse in the metaverse, award-winning designers. In the first 2 weeks, I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this is just insane. What I'm even going to tell you guys is in the first 2 weeks, 70,000 followers on Twitter, 85,000 followers on Discord. I mean, that is just unheard of. And I'm going to kind of move it straight to Brian. I mean, Brian, when you're seeing this and being the founding member, what's just going through your head in those 2 weeks?
We're not ready. We're not ready. We were not ready for that. But you throw something good out there and you can't keep it down, right? And that's what we did. When I say not ready, we didn't have we didn't even have our Discord fully up and running. We're still adding moderators to be able to handle that amount of inbound interest. Jalissa, I think, you know, no knock to anybody, but she dove in early and she built a whole community inside a community, and that was awesome. You know, what she kind of perfected inside of our Bapes community is replicable, and I hope that continues to happen in other segments inside of Bapes. But yeah, really, at the end of the day, it's a great story. The artwork was key. You know, Sheikh Danielle, who led the designers, we have Disney, Pixar, 21st Century Fox designers. So they make some of the best content in the world. That was very important for my involvement, that it wasn't just another cartoon cat with two tails that sold for $1 million. I don't get that, and I don't want to knock those things. God bless you. That's amazing what you're doing.
I love cats.
I know. Oh, two tails is amazing. So it was, we needed at least the artwork to have real value in my mind. Like it had to be so different and special. And I mean, that caught people's eyes immediately. And then it was, what are they doing? And we're still getting that question. We're still educating the community that we are not a typical NFT project. So stop calling us that. I hate that. We're not that. We have an amazing docs team. And I say docs now, like I know that word for the last 20 years. I learned that word probably 3.5 weeks ago. So we have amazing people, seasoned professionals that were supporting the project and giving the instant credibility. In all of my companies, I always think of what is the Trojan horse that gets us from 0 to 100? What is the immediate credibility we can get? And it's all about partnership. So that's why Eric and I work so well together. He gets it. We just play tennis back and forth with deal making and partnerships, because it keeps momentum going. It makes things, it's like a flowing stream. That's my whole being, is just to keep moving. So, you know, those two things, the artwork was obviously the most important thing day one. And then it was the team, what we're doing, and the value of the project. And it's really been fun educating this community as to what we're doing. The 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old person understands what we're doing. But it's the excited 13 to 20-year-old person that's starting to understand, wow, they're really creating something here. There's really value here. There's really utility. There's real access. And for everything that I've seen, we are the only project that has somebody that's 12 years old and somebody that's 80 years old looking at us, participating in it. And so many stories I've heard where we've been a conversation at dinner tables between son and parent, daughter and parent and grandchildren. It's like, it's really cool that they're talking about BAPES. So, you know, we hit on something again, right timing. That type of growth isn't sustainable. It actually, I wasn't really comfortable with that because we have to make sure we can nurture the growth, support the growth, because it can go down just as quick. And you know, we've had some moments where we had some hiccups with Polygon that really disrupted our positive momentum. But because we've all experienced problems, this is a group of professionals that don't run away from problems. They're successful because they face it head on. They figure it out. And then, you know, our bond as a BAPES ambassador community gets stronger when there's a problem because we quickly work together. We fix it. We overcome it. And we just keep moving forward. And, you know, I'll leave it at that because there's a lot more wonderful people that can speak further.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Jay Lisa.
Sorry, I was like listening to Brian's answer so much.
It's so mesmerizing, right?
I know, I got carried away. I was like, Castle. What was the question?
We get a little, I need
well, you said pizza, and I'm really hungry, so my mind just went to pizza.
I need to trademark that for this show. It's always, what was the question?
It needs to be listed, but, yeah.
No, it's pretty much, you know, all basically what BAPES did. We kind of ended with just the extravagant 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of BAPES, with 70,000 followers on Twitter and 85,000 on Discord. So, you know, what was your feeling going through that? What were you feeling when that was happening?
It was really exciting. I mean, like Brian and I were like always celebrating the numbers every day, and it just shocked how quickly it grew. And we didn't use any, you know, like pay for ads or anything, especially like when we talked about PR, Brian was very against like paying for anything. We want it to be an organic growth because we want to see how other people respond to it. And just by people, their reaction, they know how special this project is and how much they've been sharing it. It's just really incredible to see how supportive people are and how well they responded. And then like Brian was saying, I created the castle within the community, and I ended up courting all these really funny people within it. And it's just a lot of people that are really like-minded, even though we're really silly on the inside. Everyone was just so great at what they do. They're all very professional, very held really high positions within very big companies. And they're here to have fun and also really believe in this opportunity to help other entrepreneurs and businesses to thrive in the metaverse and also in the NFT world. Like Brian's saying, changing the definition of NFT and how people view NFT, because there's so, you know, everything is useless until we put a meaning to it. And we're really utilizing NFT like nobody has ever done before. And I'm just really excited, especially how many women ambassadors there are on here. A lot of NFTs I've invested in, it's all men. And this one is just really cool to see how supportive men are and also how amazing women are, what they're contributing into it.
Awesome. Thank you, Jay Lisa. Andrew?
I gotta say something. I'm the ADD songwriter here, so it's automatically like I go left field. So I saw somebody.
Are you gonna sing us a song?
You're gonna say what's the question?
I saw somebody wrote before BAPES, what was it? BAPE Esposito. And I kept
BAPES Esposito? That's cool.
Yeah, they were like BAPES Esposito. And I'm thinking, that's Esposito. And I was gonna go BAPES Esposito.
Oh, I know you're trying to sing that song. I know what you're talking about.
Definitely can't sing the Spanish part by any
chance. Yeah, yeah. I was actually listening to it in the gym today, but all good.
There's the gym drop. So
that song
that took, let's see, 36 minutes. You're getting better. This is good.
Oh, this is better. This is much better. Than, so, you know, it hasn't happened in 5 shows, so this is good.
Yeah, so I don't really know what to say. I'm just, you know, like I don't want to be cheesy and say the same thing over and over again, but I'm just beyond, you know, I'm learning as I go, and I'm learning by listening to all of you speak about your opinions on everything. Like I said, I'm certainly no NFT expert by any stretch. I'm learning. I got into some, you know, hiccups on my own trying to, I was hitting up Jay Liss. I'm like, how do I do this? What do I got to do here? So, you know, I know it's a, you know, a lot of younger population is out there doing this on a daily. They're trading NFTs like their baseball cards. So it's you know, I'm one of the older guys in the room now. And when it comes to just people who are doing this, and I'm just learning as I go. You know, I've kind of only gotten into even the crypto stuff since 2017 when I, you know, did a couple of little things, but I didn't even know what I was doing then half the time. I was like moving money, moving crypto from one wallet to another, and then someone would get lost somewhere down the line because it went to the wrong wallet and lost a little bit of money along the way. I mean, yeah. It is what it is. You know, I'm just learning as I go, and hopefully don't make the same mistake twice. Right. So that's you know,
the thing is, Andrew, they never said learning was free.
Yes. True.
You had to pay for college. You had to pay along the way. So, hey, I'm sure you'll be a pro at it. It'll, you know, matter ways.
The but interesting thing, Despacito was actually just transacted. So somebody sold that recently.
And we'll tell our audience, if anybody needs any help with your NFT, with Babes, any, we're going to post Brian Esposito's cell phone number after the show. You can text him anytime.
It's going in the garbage soon anyway, and my walkie-talkie's coming out.
He's going to have a walkie-talkie, so don't worry about that.
One thing to say to Andrew and everybody, also key to the growth was everybody, every Bapes ambassador jumped on every Twitter Spaces, Discord podium. We were the only NFT project to really succeed on LinkedIn. So, you know, that multiplier is 25 people in their network and then their network's network. So, you know, that was all baked into how do we Trojan horse this thing and bring in people that are interested in NFTs. And what's so cool about all of our talks, everybody here is talking about it too, especially Andrew, on those podiums and all those Twitter spaces, these ambassadors had their guns on the table saying, listen, I don't know what this space is. We want to be in it. And this was the first time they got into it. And that allowed the community to really build trust with everybody because we're all just being completely honest, completely transparent. And it was amazing. And it still continues to be amazing to see all these people participate. Like everybody here has got a job. Then they have to focus on, and they have work and responsibilities. Stefan, it's late at night by him in Germany, and that's everybody true. Wants to be involved. And that's the most specialist thing for me. Is that a word, specialist?
Specialist is good. Usually good. A doctor, but
you must have a
that
unique,
is the most special thing for me.
You
is
have
that
a unique
the commitment.
Dictionary somewhere that I would love to get my hands on. So, but Stephanie.
I have nothing. Brian just took my answer. That was what I was going to say.
Or you were going to say, what is the question?
No, I was going to say that it really is. It's the guns on the table. And one of the things that Brian didn't mention is, don't forget, we were doing this in front of 500, 600, 700, 800 people, all of us experts in our own in our own field, but not in NFTs. And we were all saying it. I remember, I mean, again, I go back to Jaylissa and to Rupa. I was, you know, back texting them saying, I have no idea. And they were like, us either. Just talk about why you were here. That's what I was doing. Community and building of the community and actually being able to learn and to grow. And the great thing about the Twitter spaces that Brian said that I felt was absolutely amazing is that the people that were the founders and the people that were the ambassadors were all asking each other questions. So it wasn't just this one expert on stage, just one SME on stage that everybody was sending, information to. And then again, what I'll say is as days went on and on and on, there was things that maybe people were getting a little twisted because it was brand new. And again, Jaylissa was doing videos and sending videos out to the community saying, if you're stuck here, this is what you do next. And if you're stuck here, this is what you do after that. And we were all sending them out to the community. And it was such a tight, connected community with zero ego. I know I keep going back to that, but that's really what makes us all be so involved from what Brian said, our day jobs or when we're traveling all over the world and trying to keep up. We just felt the need to support whoever was there, whatever time zone we were in. The last thing that I'll say again is going back to Brian's commitment and dedication to organic growth. I got 313 DMs on Twitter saying, we'll take the project for free. We'll put it out to our 2 million people for free. But Brian was so specific and detailed on wanting it to be organic growth that was measurable. And actually that we could say we didn't pay for anything. We didn't advertise. It was all the ambassadors and the people that cared about the community that was putting it out. I've never done so many tweets in my entire life. I don't think in the entire time I've had Twitter, I don't think I've done 10 tweets. And I was doing 10 tweets a day because I felt so committed and dedicated to the community. So all the growth was organic. All the help was amazingly. I mean, Jayless is sending me videos at 1:30 in the morning going, Steph, if your people are caught here, have them do this. It was just amazing. And it continues to be amazing every single day. So thank you.
Yeah, Steph, to that point real quick, Andrew would... because he's embedded, such as Stefan, even everybody's got an incredible network, but yeah. Would send, hey, I got a guy with 100 million followers. He wants to promote babes. And it was awkward, right, Andrew? I'm like, I don't want him. I don't want them because we don't need it. And it discredits it.
And that's, it's so weird when you're
isn't
doing
that.
That
crazy to say? Yeah.
Exactly. So and you're doing so it. And I'm like, going I don't know how to say it.
I'm like, oh, we don't want you.
Right. And I was like, and then I'm asking Brian, what do I say? Because like they are connected to all these people. And he was like, say no, Steph. Just say no. It was terrible. But I guess it worked out because the growth was amazing. And the people that we had committed to it were incredible.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie. Stefan?
Yes. So I think that I agree with Brian that, you know, this like front loaded engagement is always kind of dangerous because normally you get people excited and then and you know, right after you kind of bleed out and that's it. And then, you know, you have this, you know, supposedly, you know, 10 or 20 NFTs where people pay like $1 million for a 3-second video sequence of whatever. I'm not even going deep into this. And the other way around is much more difficult because, but you know, it's much more sustainable. Like what Stephanie said, I completely agree. So you gotta, you know, so my feeling was the same, like, you know, what happens once the, you know, the babes holders are going to, you know, I mean, understand that the non-fungibility is actually us. We are non-fungible, you see? So that means that in the long run, the returns are going to come and this is going to be more and more exciting. The substance is really like in the long tail. And I think this is so powerful and it will kind of, you know, turn our experience around in the sense of, you know, like everything now in this NFT space is like short-lived and you know, super hyped up. Not very transparent, even though it's blockchain, but it's not transparent at all. And now we do this the other way around. So I thought this was the very, very exciting. And also to have this audience that, you know, we got so quickly shows you also that there is so much thirst out there. There is this appetite for, you know, understanding how this works, you know, making profits for sure. Being interested, you know, the sex appeal of the new technologies and stuff like that. So this is also a responsibility for us because for us, it's not going to be like everybody's now going to, you know, we're going to sell like 1 million babes, whatever. And then, you know, in the end, you can just sit there. No. It gives us work for long, you know, like for a period, you know, and this work is then going to end in, you know, it's going to result into even, you know, like real strong, you know, business returns, which is something that I think is our responsibility over the next couple of months and years to explain and to you know, make, you know, graspable for everybody so that everybody will really get kind of experience it. And what can be better than having experts in these fields? What can be better than having people with scars, people that are honest, that are kind of engaged and doing this not to make $1 million a year, but really to support the community? And I think this overall is the fantastic, experience that we have had over the last 2 to 3 weeks. And just to understand that this is the beginning is exciting enough because it will just, you know, show. I mean, it's I can't wait to see where this is unfolding to. And we're gonna see, you know, a complete different, you know, kind of curve, how this is going to turn into something. And I think I'm very, very happy and also very grateful to be here, to be part of this, and you know, making sure by being one little piece of this puzzle,
big piece,
in order to provide this long term value. So
big piece.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Rupa?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the sentiments have been definitely relayed by everybody, but I just wanted to kind of add just to saying that, you know, the growth has obviously been remarkable, but what's really interesting is that each one of us has, you know, a network that we've garnered over so, like, decades, really, and kind of had we've created relationships which are built on integrity. And when you go out there and, you know, as an individual, as an ambassador, and you go to your community, you really, and if you're promoting something, you really just have to have so much trust in it, because you're promoting that to your network that you've garnered for so many years. And that's what was remarkable. I think it really just highlighted and showed the you know, the trust that our respective communities have in us as individual ambassadors, and for them to come on so quickly. So that was really, really interesting to see. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the points have been relayed, but no, it's absolutely remarkable. And I think that, you know, now BAPES has got a community which is of high quality individuals, and we're only going to take that message forward and keep on doing that. So it's exciting.
Thank you very much, Rupa. Ro?
Honestly, I think that, I mean, echoing what everyone has said, and just, I think just seeing the growth of this in such a like dramatic rate, and also me getting a lot of DMs and people who wanted to get involved. But like, I think that the genuine nature of the people who are on the core team and who are the ambassadors is what makes this project different than other projects. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I've been involved in other things, and I've never had so many people who are so attentive and readily available and helpful and responsive within minutes. And I think that that's really rare. And really cool. And also, I really love how there's people involved from so many different industries, which really, you know, we're bringing a lot of different a lot of different aspects to the table, and like different ways that we can grow the company. So, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thanks. Well said, Ro.
Yeah, definitely. Eric?
Off? Am I off? Yeah.
Oh no, you're on. You're on.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, we had such a phenomenal growth at the very beginning, and everybody had a very high anticipated expectation. And I love the way we kind of fell on our face on a polygon, because we actually wanted to do the right thing for the BAPES holder, and make sure that we give them the you know, lower gas fee. But somehow the Polygon didn't support, or they had a trouble. But we turned around and quickly picked up ourselves, and they got to mint, you know, everybody got to mint it, and today is a mint day. So it's a real life we were showing to all our BAPES holder, and we showed them a love. We want to make sure we take care of them, and we will be here to take care of them going forward. And it's a learning curve that we're going to all go through. And we're going to continue to work humbly and deliver our promises and execute our plan and help out those who are in need in the capital to build the Avesta Metaverse, MetaFund. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Eric. That was beautiful. Yeah, and I mean, for me, I mean, I've never been part of a project of this sort in my 26 years or in my lifetime alone. Whether it's through other deals or just anything. I mean, this, the community is phenomenal. The ambassadors, the founders. I mean, this is what you call family. And this is what you call trust. And you put those two things together, you have a successful model. And that's what you get with Babes. The utility that's behind it, you know, whether we talk about travel, space, and just what has been created for the community itself. So this is a phenomenal project. I'm honored. And just, you know, I couldn't be more excited to see what the future holds for Babes. And, you know, I'm waiting till the planet comes along. So, but I want to kind of just skip through some of the other pieces we had, but I'm going to put it in the combination. I mean, obviously, this is a large show. That's why we have eight other ambassadors, actually seven ambassadors, and Brian is the founding member. So I would tell you that, what's that? Sorry, did someone say something? Oh, okay. So I want to kind of just talk about, we went into a little bit about the growth of Babes, but I also want to go into what made this project grow to a substantial amount real quick. And you will see some of the ambassadors right here in front of you. And it was the fastest organically growth NFT project. This is a little bit from the article itself. The work will also guide the startups and project that MetaFund will get behind. The project 143 went viral. A lot of that beeper talk, if you youngsters don't know what that means, the 143 on a beeper talk means I love you. Just be careful who you say that to. So just to give you a little piece of advice. And that was the Valentine's Day project. It went viral. It was amazing. It did put Babes on the map with a lot of different people. I mean, you can see the support. And from the community alone, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I'm just going to kind of go around to a few people on this subject right here that were heavily involved into this and were very outspoken. And I'll start with Jay Lisa first, and then I'm just going to come back to you, Brian.
Sorry, I was hoping you would go to Brian.
You were in the video. You should know. You were promoting it.
For the 143 video? Yeah, it was really awesome. Just like as soon as they asked me to film the video, I was like, of course. I didn't have to ask what 143 was, but it was really cool just because it really promotes, it shows our core value, which is community and also doing good for others. And it's such a good way to get our community to expand themselves and also show other people what they can do. I feel like a lot of times we always forget to give back to others. So this is like a really good reminder. And also just showing people like what we're about and what we really value and who we want in our community or people that really care about other people and want to give back. And in exchange, we reward you guys with a whitelist. So I just think it's really cool. That was a great project to promote our NFT and also show people what we really care about.
Thank you, Jay Lisa. Brian?
Well said. I said last time 327-2004. That's my beeper number back in 98.
Part
free,
one.
Free area code. So that was fun. And 143 is first word has one letter, second word has four.
Four
and
letters.
You can figure out the rest. I feel like the count from Sesame Street. So when I was watching all this, and I spoke about it a lot, I was blown away every day the amount of energy that this community was doing. They were taking over stadiums. We saw an amazing group in, was it Beirut? I hope I'm not getting that wrong, but they actually flew across the sky in some, or they skydived with this banner attached to them that said Babes Clan. And Cam Jordan, NFL Saints player, also part of the Babes founding team, very passionate about the 143 project. And you know, we said, let's just take all this great energy and have people do something good. They're already committed to the Babes brand. They're making content. They want to win that whitelist, like Jay Lissa said. So, you know, it was like, okay, well, go out and help somebody. Go donate some time at a food kitchen. Or if you have extra funds, donate to a charity and show us that. We had a lot of inbound from military, and thank you all for your service, which was amazing. Some of the fun things they were doing on the bases, you know, kind of riffing with their sergeants, then had to do something for them to earn a whitelist. So it was just amazing to see. And the inbound of videos and content was, again, humbling. So great projects. And it wasn't about at that moment selling a Vapes NFT. It was about taking that energy and harness it into people. Just, if you're going to take the time to support what we're trying to do, go out and help somebody. And it wasn't a gimmick. I hope it never came across like that. It was more about, you know, thank you all. You're with us. And these are the types of things that we want to do for the community, for the world. And hopefully that came across correctly. And it was great. And hopefully we could do something like that every month, because ideally people should do that all the time. It shouldn't be about getting a whitelist. It should be about helping people all the time. But if we can spur that snowball to go down the hill and get bigger, I'm all for that.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. And I'm just, because of the time constraint, we're just going to kind of go through the next piece as well. That's why we went through this real quick. But so the next piece of the puzzle here we have is on the Vapes music. And we spoke about this with the other ambassadors, and I think Mr. Schultz was on part one. We're going to come back with the same piece on part two. There was a community member. She's a San Diego resident, singer, songwriter as well. And she created this song, Vibe with the Tribe. It was a song to celebrate the growing community of Vapes. And, you know, just to let our audience know, we are going to be posting these articles on the Hospitality 360 newsletter. It's 4,000 subscribers strong, so you can be 4,001 if you want. But Andrew, and this is your area. I know this is Mr. Schultz's area as well. So we're going to go to both of you. What did you think about this song, and what is just your thought process on this?
Stefan, you want to run with it, or do you want me?
No, you go ahead. You go ahead. That would be great. To hear you first.
We wanted in theory, an unknown artist. Ryan and I were talking about it to go out and create something that was unique in her, you know, in her own vibe, and wanted to go out and release it. And I thought it was, you know, I'm a bit of a straightforward shooter when it comes to my A&Ring abilities. Brian knows me really.
speak your mind, Andrew, because we went back.
It wasn't my favorite song in the world, but that doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it conveyed that anyone could kind of release a song through an NFT. And I thought this project where you know, when you own everything, it makes it a lot easier to sell something and into the NFT world. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned earlier, the complexities of all the different places that you pull money from when you collect from, like, PROs, which is the performing rights organizations, such as BMI, ASCAP, mm-hmm. CSAC, GMR, all these other companies are paying for different purposes. I don't think it's been fully realized yet on how to solve that. And I love the fact that, you know, you have an unknown artist that winds up wanting to release a song in a unique way. I love that idea about the whole process. You know, it's, and that's why I was like, look, I can go to the songwriters in the world and the biggest, you know, producers in the world. But Brian kind of was like, you know, at the end of the day, man, that's not what it's about. And I respected that entirely. You know, you wanted someone who was relatively unknown and wanted to kind of let them flourish. You know, if it became a big top 10 hit, you know, then that would have been an amazing story, you know. And it still could. You never know, you know, with the amount of Vapes holders that's increasing over time. And, you know, you never know. You know, sometimes people get surprised, you know.
Exactly.
I've seen a lot of crazy things these days with the social media world and TikTok blowing things up that were, you know, dormant before. And, you know, there was one girl, I forget what her name was, but there was a girl who's like, her song went viral out of nowhere and she wasn't even ready to start to do interviews yet. And she was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but here I am. And the song just blew up.
So was that the Fleetwood Mac girl that did the remake of the Fleetwood Mac song?
Well, there's, like, I don't think it was her. Okay. It was, oh man. I just heard her on the radio the other Sirius XM where they were interviewing her. And it was like, you know, she's like, I had no idea this was going to happen. She was just like totally dumbfounded, you know?
I know it's a different world we live in now. So yeah. It's not only music, anything.
And TikTok crazy. These days, Ken, is really kind of amplifying like older music. Like, you know, they're getting resurgence.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like the Fleetwood Mac scenario.
Yep.
You know, where someone comes out starting to sing an old song and then the song becomes a viral hit. And then all of a sudden that song gets pushed again and the revenue.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you're saying that as well, because when I'm on social media and I'm seeing between Instagram and TikTok and I see people repeatedly play that song as their background sound. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, this thing is just going to go viral. I mean, this is the way it's going viral. It's not listening to the radio or going on the internet. It's really getting these songs into those social media channels. So
yeah, the curation of music now has really changed, I think, the scope of things where your whole golden standard was to get on radio, you know, to get promoted and have a successful experience, right? You know, releasing songs. But I think the internet's kind of become the place where that's really curated. That's not anything new because it's been evolving for years. But I think with things like, you know, TikTok and YouTube, you know, I have a friend who's in a fantastic rock band. They make their own videos. They do their own versions of covers, and they own the master recording of that song. And they have such a huge following that, I mean, these guys are doing really, really well. I've sold catalogs, so I know how well they're doing. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of them as well. And I'm literally best friends with one of the guys who's the lead singer. But they're called Our Last Night. And these guys are incredible. You know, he does that screamo thing on top of, like, you know, the heat wave animals. So I forget the glass. he does these versions of these songs that are just unbelievable. And he gets a zillion, you know, he has like, I think, several million people, monthly listeners following him. And
wow.
They own all their content other than the publishing. You know, they, you know, as a songwriter, you know, producers own the master. They make a lot more money from a stream than the publisher does. So, which they're trying to change that right now. There's a lot of lobbying things going on in Washington where they're really trying to fix, you know, change that.
Well, we know you'll keep us up to date with all the music news, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I get long-winded when it comes to this.
No, you're good. Yeah. This is all, I'm new to that industry. I have no idea. Nothing about it. I just know that I like some songs. You know?
I see some people, you know, what's a CD?
You know,
my parents earn 0.5% off their CD.
Yeah. I still have an 8-track. I remember 8-track.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't seen a car with a tape recorder in it. So it's Oldsmobile. Look it up.
But you know,
Stefan,
yeah,
actually, I'm sorry, I passed.
That's good because we're looking at it from kind of different angles, which is absolutely normal because we're like, you know, very, we are taking different approaches here. And my main concern has always been like how to really shift, let's say, some of the paradigms in the industry and making sure that, you know, that you take the you take the market to the next level. You know, I guess I have always been pushed by, like, you know, like CEOs and people like, hey, you need a better quarter and stuff like that. And technology is always you know, has a huge potential to give you, you know, exponential growth. In this case, the decentralization part, that's also what we do with Surround. We're taking things to the most granular level, really like connecting the dots and making it, you know, the market very accessible. And I think this was so compelling, where it's really not, it's about the way that the whole market is going to shift into a permissionless system where everybody can enter the market. Everybody can, you know, have a kind of consistent data behind, find, you know, interoperability also with their peers, but also with the markets. And then you have crazy people like Brian that put so much energy, you know, behind something and want to push it out, want to make sure that this is happening. And when it all comes together and you don't really have any label involved, any mm-hmm. publishing involved, anybody involved, and and
that's just, not normal, right, Stefan?
I'm not saying that the disintermediation here is the big goal. I'd love to have everybody collaborate and work together, but the way that the market is going to shift is definitely going to be in this direction where you don't have to worry to just enter the marketplace, you know, and it's not about somebody keeping, you know, like being the gatekeeper for you to enter. And this is, I think, what is going to be completely mind-blowing about the decentralization piece, that everything is going to become totally open. And then all of a sudden, the next artist is, you know, maybe not Bella, you know, Albanese coming from San Diego, but it could be like some Indian guy or somebody in Pakistan or in Ukraine. Like, for example, I have an artist in Kiev, which is a girl. She's super. And obviously now she, you know, with her family has a lot of trouble. But just imagine you enter the market coming in. You have no label. You don't have anybody. And then, you know, all of a sudden you get your first, you know, you have your payment in your wallet. You can make a living. You can buy some food. You can, you know what I mean? It's like this Bitcoin idea, take this to the IP level. It's just so crazy because it will allow, you know, intellectual property holders, creators, to really get into a complete new sphere where the market today is really like, you know, having a structure that is not beneficial to the very, very individual in this granular level and that, you know, in this real time almost, you know, situation. And I think this is the thing that I get up in the morning for, to see that we open up the market completely. Everything will be allowed. Everything is possible. You know, the flow is crazy. The determination of the individual values and individual needs and whatever is just going to be absolutely, you know, not put into some, you know, constraints of long lasting contracts and all this kind of stuff. Everything is automatic. I'm sure that the industry is going to not flourish by 10% or 20% right now, but it's going to be taking up to like 400, 500, 600, 800%. So that means it's going to be, you know, like the next real, real big step forward for the creative industries. And this is, I think, where this, you know, little activity that we did was already giving you this kind of first feeling. Yeah. Brian was all about, let's get this experience out. Let's experience ourselves what that means. Bella is just amazing. And, you know, it was never about like, oh yeah, this must be a top one hit or something like that. This would have defeated the purpose. It's just like, mm-hmm. let's make it happen. Right.
Yeah.
And I think this was why this was significant. And I'm sure that many, many more creative projects are going to follow, and this is what Andrew and I are here for, and others. So we are going to make sure that there is, you know, the markets are opening up, and I think, you know, this is why this was already a great start.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you guys both because I think I'm ready now. I'm
gonna make hey, Ken, can you let Ro give a show?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I was going to Ro next anyway.
Yeah, so. With Mez Entertainment and her arsenal absolutely. Of talent.
So Ken, if you want to start singing, please, you know, don't take that for granted with the permission list now.
Yeah, yeah.
Ken's first single. Despacito.
Ro, what you got for us?
I mean, I don't really know what to add. Both of those gentlemen gave very good answers, but I know that there's a lot, like, you know, I'll give you an example. So there's a gentleman named Don Passman who wrote a book called Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business. And I believe there's 9 versions, because that's maybe 10 at this point, because that's how quickly the music business is changing. It's literally constantly changing. I can barely keep up, to be very transparent with you. There's so many rules and regulations regarding publishing, sync and licensing, splits, you know, what the producers get, what the songwriters get, how to do those. Like, it's just, it's never ending. And also, obviously, you know, all the different DSPs and like the percentage they give to artists has been a huge, you know, place of turmoil because, you know, obviously, like, I believe it's like you get like a, $1,000 for a million streams or like probably even less, something crazy like that. So, I think that NFTs are a tremendous way for music artists to actually make money in the digital sector, because they're definitely not making them from Spotify or Tidal or you know, Apple Music. Like, they're just not making money from those platforms.
Exactly.
They're growing their brand. They're getting their name out there. They're getting on, you know, playlists and, but they're not monetizing as they should be. It's definitely like night and day from when we had CDs and, you know, that was the golden age. I used to have a Discman, and like my interns don't even know what a Discman is. And I'm just like, wow. And I had a Walkman, I had a Discman, I had headphones that plugged into something. There was no cell phone.
I see you. Trust me, I see you.
No, I mean, it's that was when, you know, that was when that was the golden era of music, when we had CDs and we could go to a store and look at all, we would buy a whole project.
Can you imagine COVID spreading at Sam Goody's? That would be like,
I can't believe you brought up Sam Goody's.
Oh my, I love Sam Goody.
Everybody's got the headphones on in the aisles.
That
would not have worked out today.
Wired headphones.
This is a very great point, Ron, because actually with NFTs, I mean, normally every license activity is non-fungible, as we all know from the industry, right? You cannot just broadcast NFL because you have a TV station. You know, you literally have to, you know, and the problem here is that we have given, I mean, I'm talking us because I was part of the big machine, you know, we actually gave in with the APIs to the big players and to the big streaming services. So by nature, all of these artists are diluting because there's more and more content in a flat rate, right? So, you know, other than Disney that says, listen, I'm dropping out of Netflix, individual artists cannot do this. And with NFTs, you can now determine your value again. And you could theoretically and practically, if there is obviously a demand, you could definitely go back to this, more autonomous licensing, era. And I think this is the big giant step that we have ahead of us, right? And if for an individual to push against Spotify or anybody like that is super difficult. This is why normally you have a big cluster, you know, like you go to a label, the labels can put that in there, that then they also need the margin. But you can put it in an NFT situation, you can put it to you can bring it back to the granular level. And I think this is going to be mind-blowing for the artists.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Stefan.
Yes.
Thank you, Ro. Thank you, Andrew. That was phenomenal what you guys provided. So I want to kind of take it to our last piece. We're going to try to crunch this in as well. And it's going to be basically what I got, just a 60-second take on the roadmap. But I'm going to obviously just display the piece. And then we'll go to Brian to get the Mint update from earlier today. So the Bapes roadmap, the Metavestor, more powerful than the traditional financial institutions and even the crowdfunding solutions. So, and then the other piece to the roadmap is space. And those are two of the three pieces currently listed on the roadmap. And the space aspect, the holder gets to travel to space, and the International Space Station. Your Bapes NFT will be a trained astronaut. I mean, just amazing stuff. Just amazing. So I'm going to actually just start out, and then everybody can give their 60-second take on the roadmap. But Brian, if you can just give us an update on the Mint itself from earlier today.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, as far as comparing us to other projects, again, we ran into that Polygon situation. We had people waiting to get their whatever their fiat currency out of Polygon and wrapped in Polygon Weave back into their wallet. We did not have to perform a perfect sellout. We were a long-term play here. So we were letting everybody get everything back into their wallets to continue the mint in the private whitelist. The minting process today, as far as the public mint went, it's going great. Twitter, as far as my view of Twitter and Discord and LinkedIn, it's been completely positive. I've been on it since 3 a.m. this morning Eastern, working with people, getting everybody excited. So it's been amazing. I think, Jaylissa, maybe you can also comment on if you're seeing the same thing, because I know you're very active there. And we're doing great. Again, I built every company I ever had, one customer at a time. So that's my MO. We're fine. We could do a lot of great work with a little bit of money. That's the other part of having these amazing ambassadors and doing deals direct to principals. It's one of the things we're teaching the maybe the younger generation of the value here. There's no fluff in the middle. There's no brokers in the middle. There's nobody to mess up a deal. There's nobody to steal your money. There's just, here's an opportunity. We go after it. And we've made those deals with Star Jets, with Ricky Sinema, who's also a BAPES ambassador on bringing the private aviation into the metaverse. We've made deals with Bob Richards' company, Artemis Space Network and Artemis Music, for the minting of the Genesis 2 BAPES NFT that's going to be minted from the International Space Station. That doesn't just happen. You know, those are relationships. Again, that's direct principle. If we wanted to go into that deal like very wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and not know anybody, we'd have to go through all these people that would have their hand in our pocket. We don't have to do that. So I think Eric said it perfectly before. The long-term value creation that we're having here is going to be effective. It's going to be seen, and we're in that process. So I'm not looking at the day-to-day. I think one of the most important things, and Stephanie, you probably have experienced this with public CEOs, the last thing you want to do is look at your stock price. You do not look at that every day. You're going to jump off a bridge if you do that. I mean, the idea is build a business, build a pipeline, sustainability, healthy growth. And that's what we're doing here. And there'll be exciting times where there's giant spikes and great interest, and that's fun, but that also fizzles down. So there always has to be sustainability. And so anyway, to answer your question, the mint, the public mint's going great. Everything's functioning, and we are one NFT holder at a time here.
Hey, Ken, Jaylissa has to go really soon, so let her go next.
Yeah, she is going next. She's next in line.
Go.
I was hoping to just like hop off with that.
No. I knew you were going to do that. I was like, no, go.
You got 3 minutes. You got 60 seconds, actually, but you're good. Go ahead.
Yeah. The roadmap is awesome. I mean, if I didn't know like Brian personally and kind of like what's happening in the back end, I would have looked at the roadmap and be like, I mean, I understand like people looking at it and think it's like a rug or whatever, because it's never been done before. And these things are really out of space, out of this world. When you're reading it, you're just like, there's no way this is happening. But being in part of the team and knowing what's happening in the back end, everything is happening. As we said, nothing is, you know, just like a promise and under deliver. So it's just, I'm just in awe. Every single time we announce something or we get in a new project, I'm like, how is this even happening? But the fact that I know the ambassadors and talk to them personally, I know that everything we said is happening, and I'm really excited to see, to watch it happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to give you my take. We're going to go around the room and I'll give you my take. It was interesting what you just said, and it just, something came to my mind, but I'll go last. Andrew?
And thanks for having me, Ken.
You know what? We're going to have you back.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you got the frozen Elsa hair. How you not love that? You know?
Well, thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
So I'm the musician who can say the dog ate my homework. Yeah, I've been absolutely slammed with I have about 42 clients right now that I'm working on catalogs with. and I'm not as proficient with NFTs. People have to explain things to me and talk to me about them. So as you guys comment on the roadmap, I'm learning as you're talking about it. So I'm gonna probably pass the baton a little bit over.
Thank you, Andrew. So I'm gonna kind of swing it around here because it looks like we got Mr. Schultz on the top. So I'm gonna go to you, Stefan.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, I can't wait, Andrew, to take this, you know, to talk about this, to talk about this with you and look at the NFT like overall perspective, because I think this is gonna be awesome what we can do here, also for your catalogs. I think the roadmap is exciting because it is kind of an inverted way of looking at things, because we're kind of giving a perspective to the NFT that has all the utility in us and in the community and everybody. But you know, the other side is yet to come, you know, so, but it just already shows you that we are open to all these industries. So, you know, if you interpret this in the right way, then you will definitely understand what's coming back at us is 10 times as much. It's coming from all different angles. And I think this is the way to look at it right now. And this is why I love this roadmap, because it gives you this inspiration and it tells you what this community is actually capable of doing, regardless of the fact how, you know, much money you can do now, or what is the return on something that is more like a, you know, like an explorational space situation or something like that. But it gives you this, your mind can be fully open. We have access all areas, can blow this up. We can open the funnel. And then, you know, in the second step, which is actually what we are all about, is that all these metaverse investment opportunities are coming back at us. And then we have like kind of a very, very, what can I say, like decentralized, almost like a very strong filter that has, you know, that is basically living from the capabilities that the community and the ambassadors and everybody bring to the table. And I think this is unbelievably unique. You know, nobody has this kind of mechanism, and this is why I love the roadmap.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Rupa?
Yeah, I'll just keep it quick because a lot of the sentiments have been relayed, but again, it's just fascinating. And I think that the roadmaps, you know, like I said, it's fascinating because it's giving everybody the accessibility into industries that maybe otherwise wouldn't be available to them. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. So, and an opportunity to kind of, you know, have an ROI on things. And I just think that, I just think it's fascinating. And it just shows how, you know, the team of people that are involved, you know, we think nothing's impossible. There's no limits to what can be done here. And the roadmap really does highlight that in so many different ways. So, no, it's a fantastic roadmap. And I think it's just causing so much excitement in the community.
Thank you, Rupert. That was great. Stephanie?
So I think to say what we've all kind of all of our sentiments have been, and especially Jalissa, we've talked about this so much. People want, and when they're investing this much time and this much energy, and they haven't been in all of the discords or in all of the Twitter spaces, there's a lot of confusion. I think people like a very sorted plan. And unfortunately, I go back to the internet. There's no sorted plan. This is a very gray area, and it's going to pivot 10,000 times. And so I think as being transparent as Brian has been, Ken, and you've been so great and gracious to host these communities, you know, over and over again, Brian, literally at 2 o'clock in the morning on Twitter spaces and getting all of us to be on. Poor Stefan, he's like exhausted. Andrew's not sure what day it is. You know, like it's we're all so tired, but we all just keep going. And I think the transparency of, hey, you know what? I'm not exactly sure. Let me see if I can find the best answer for you. I don't think there is a roadmap. I think there's a community of everybody trying to stay on the same track and go the same direction and be really, really focused in kindness and respect and honor and really building something huge. It's actually funny. I want to tell you this really quick, Ken. My oldest son, who's 20, he jumped on because I saw Discord and I jumped off. I was on for, I think, 0.8 seconds. But my son jumped on and he was asking questions about this. And I remember this is at the very beginning. This is maybe we were at 5,000 followers. Okay. And Douglas grilled him. He's like, what do you want this for? Do you want to flip it? How much, when you pay for it, are you going to keep it? Are you going to hold it? How are you going to add value to the community? And he's 20. He's like, I don't add value to very much. But how are you going to actually be a part of this community? And I remember he got off Discord and he was like, what can I do? What am I going to do to actually bring value into this community and hold this? When I was explaining to him the perspective of actually holding it for his family and passing it down to his kids and what this metaverse was going to look like long-term, he didn't talk to me for a week because he was going out, his head exploded and he was going for big ideas. There's no roadmap to this. There's no anything to this. It's a giant community of people that are all learning, but we're all in it for all the positive, great connections that we're getting and helping each other out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, I think everybody said this just perfectly. I mean, this is not a staged conversation. I don't think anybody had notes or anything what they had to say. This is really comes from the heart, believing in Bapes, believing what Bapes is about, believing what the utility is, believing in the partnerships, believing in the drive. And I'm not gonna go put the initials and spread it out, but it is LFG, you know. And I'm sure you could figure out what that means. Our legal counsel will tell us.
Love for Gucci?
Let From go.
Love for Gucci.
Love for Gucci, yes. But I think, look, my thing in this is the roadmap. I never cared about it because of the fact I knew what this is about. You know, I tell this to people every day, every night that I talk to that are just been with me for 15, 20 years. Good friends of mine, good business partners, people in Dubai, people in India, people in Singapore. And I tell them about Bapes. They know, they ask me all the time, why am I involved with a project and I'm just running a hospitality brand that the world is going to know about? And they ask me, they're like, why? And I'm like, these are the reasons. This is not your normal NFT project.
Right.
This is not an ape smoking a cigarette and you buy for $7.2 million. You know what I mean?
And then Brian would probably be okay with that, though. Like, he might be like, that's fine.
Then you write off 7.150 losses.
But, you know, I think this has got tremendous utility. Look, I'm a strong believer that this is going to help so many people, right? Forget about what it's going to make, what it's going to do. This is not about that. This is about how it's going to help people. Mm-hmm. What is it going to do for people that have a startup, right? Mm-hmm. How can they get capital? And, you know, these are all the utilities, but I'm going to leave it at that. It was a pleasure having everybody join us. The community is phenomenal. We love the community. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. I know it seems like a Hollywood movie today with 90 minutes nonstop action, you know, but Brian J. Esposito, thank you. Stefan Scholes, thank you. Rupa Singh, thank you. Andrew Fromm, thank you.
Thank you.
And Stephanie Malik, thank you very much.
Ken, thank you so much for hosting. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank
you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Oh, hold on.